Janet's husband, John, had been an elder at the church I was leading for decades. He was a devoted family man, kind and generous. He and Janet had a wonderful marriage. They had raised three children together and were now enjoying their grandchildren. John's health was a little compromised as he had suffered a serious heart attack some years earlier, but he took care of himself and things seemed to be going really well overall. But then one day, we got a call. John had died. He had been out grocery shopping and he had just collapsed. It was a massive heart attack, and this time he could not be revived. How devastating for Janet and the whole family. How devastating for our church. We gathered together to surround and support Janet and the family. We shared stories. There were tears. It was all so sudden. But there was also gratitude and celebration. John would have wanted it no other way. There was even space for laughter because John liked to laugh. The service was a beautiful event in every way funerals can be at their best. And Janet, well, she lived it all, the sorrow, the tears, the remembering, the thanksgiving. Her life, it could never be the same again with a huge hole John left in it, John's absence left in it. Weeks passed, and then months. Janet continued to come to church and get involved. This was spiritual home for her, and she was surrounded by others who had also known loss in their lives. But everything at church also began to mean that much more for Janet. It's as if she tasted and smelled and saw and felt things differently now. One concern many of us had was how Janet would live her life going forward. Well, in time, we noticed something amazing starting to happen. Janet was doing things she just hadn't done before. She was exercising in a whole new way. She had lost some excess weight. She was looking different, alive, engaged. She was also getting more involved with volunteering, especially the kind that engaged other people. And she was also more immersed in a spiritual way with the church, especially with the worship services and the sermons or her comments and questions to me. She also joined the choir. She was absorbing it all like food, and she had this kind of new hunger she had not known the same before. And in a few years, she also found love again with another widower in the congregation. Their wedding, it was truly something to celebrate for the whole church, and their respective families were delighted too. They would always have their former partners as forever part of their lives, but this newfound love between them was also a gift from God. It was such a gift, you know, to be able to celebrate this marriage with them, one of the best weddings I've ever done. The whole church celebrated, even as we gave thanks for their former partners who would forever be part of the communion of saints of our congregation. This was acknowledged as part of the service. So, why am I telling Janet's story? Because Janet's story is all about resurrection. Resurrection into new life after having suffered the cross of loss. Resurrection from the dead, it's not just a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing too. What do I mean? Let's zero in on our scripture reading in search of some revelatory insight. With the account of the raising of Lazarus, the account is a miracle story, and it is unique in our gospel account. As I mentioned before, John calls the miracles Jesus does signs. He calls them signs because they point to something. Signs, they're a lot more than just physical healing, as amazing as physical healing is. The raising of Lazarus is about a lot more than resuscitating someone who has been unconscious and believed dead. Resurrection here is a spiritual thing as much as it is a physical thing, and Jesus wants people to understand this so that they can benefit from it. Resurrection is also not just about new life after you die. It's something to be experienced here and now. How do we know this? Because before Jesus gets to the miracle of resuscitating Lazarus and pointing to this as a sign of resurrection, he has a fascinating conversation with Lazarus' sister Martha. Jesus' most fascinating conversations, where he reveals profound truths about himself, are often conversations with women in our gospel accounts. So what does Jesus reveal to Martha? Well, he reveals to her that anyone who connects to Jesus by opening themselves to his love, to trusting it and to absorbing this love, well, they will never be the same. They will experience resurrection into new life. That's the promise of this kind of faith. Let me quote his actual words. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And then he asks Martha, "Do you believe this?" Belief in the gospel, you know, it's not an intellectual thing primarily at all. Belief is about trusting something so that you stake your whole life on it. Are you willing to stake your whole life on trusting me and my love, Martha, and how it can and must transform your whole life? Because if you do, if you do, your life, its priorities, commitments, and passions, they will possess the kind of life that death cannot terminate. Death now will become a transition for you. Every challenge, loss, or crisis now will become an opportunity to be resurrected into further new life. Now, do you believe this? Do you believe this is possible? Do we? Okay, preacher, if resurrection here and now is possible, how do we set ourselves up for it? Well, first of all, we have to be invested. In our story, not only Mary and Martha, but Jesus himself is deeply and personally invested in the loss of Lazarus. He breaks down and weeps. The Greek word for this emotional breakdown describing it, it points to the kind of visceral reaction we get when we're faced with a kind of profound loss akin to being punched in the gut and unable to breathe. Jesus loses it totally when he sees people he cares about crying so bad. He can't hold it together. But this is exactly the kind of love Jesus is all about. When you care deeply about people, you can't just hold it together. You don't. You fall apart. Janet fell apart when John died. But what resurrecting power is the seed in this capacity to fall apart because you love. You fall apart, but then you're open to being changed because of that love. And this brings us to part two of the journey to resurrection here and now. We're not only invested and affected personally by the cross of loss, but then we have to be open and willing to take steps to new life. We must discover the gift of faith. Mary and Martha are not only torn up about their brother, they're willing to believe in what Jesus can do. They're willing to take steps according to Jesus' instructions, as wild as they may be. You know, they follow Jesus' instructions. They have Lazarus' body dug up. It's an awful business. But then something totally miraculous happens. We know what the story claims has happened. Lazarus is alive. He is untangled from all the wrapping and washed. He is alive. He is risen into new life again. Okay. But what about Mary and Martha and all of us? I mean, we're not dead. So what does rising into new life mean for us here and now? Well, we are living through something that none of us has ever lived through. The fear of the spread of COVID-19 and its threat to the health and well-being of people, it has required changes, restrictions, limitations to be imposed on us all. Nothing will ever be the same again, however soon we overcome the spread of the virus. For many, though, other than trying to hold it together and dreaming of getting back to life the way it was, this time it's simply one to be endured and passed through, period. But what if we saw this time like any time of extremity, struggle, and loss? What if we saw this time as a time where we are thrown into a cross awaiting resurrection time? What if we saw it that way? What if how we endure this time and how we absorb it can also be an occasion where we are opened into a whole new way of looking at life, of living life and directing our lives? What if? What if we took this time to evaluate all our commitments or lack of them? All our preoccupations and pursuits, all our petty and not so petty conflicts, all our relationships and things that bind us to others in one way or another. What if? What things have we put off dealing with? What things have taken up our energy, our time, our investment? How will we use what we're given, what we've been given? How well have we developed our capacities and opportunities? I can keep asking questions because all of them are relevant to each and every one of us at times like this. Somehow these questions have a poignancy they may never have had before in the same way. Do we simply let life happen to us and weather the storm as best we can and move on? Or do we bend into it and discern a whole way forward with time? What Janet's story and that of Mary and Martha reveal to us is that we cannot fabricate or create our own meaning and purpose, whatever society tells us, create your own meaning, your own purpose, invent yourself. We can't just create transcendent meaning for ourselves. Resurrection is something that has to happen to us, just like the cross is something imposed on us against our choosing, against our will. Crises and challenges will come to all of us, whether we like it or not. So, how do we prepare ourselves to be in the best possible inner state of being so that resurrection may happen to us? Our gospel story offers us some revelatory guidance here. Think about what Jesus does and how he works with where Mary and Martha are at. The first thing is that they're all invested, they're all committed. It's all about the loss of Lazarus. Jesus weeps terribly. Mary and Martha are in pieces emotionally. It matters what's happened to Lazarus. They're focused and attentive and will do whatever it takes with Jesus for any hope of new life. Unless we too are so invested and committed to learning in this time of COVID-19, learning, seeing, and emerging in time into new insight, wisdom, and possibly new directions in our lives in all kinds of ways, unless this is how we're preparing for this time, with all kinds of pursuits and commitments and all kinds of relationships that may come in new directions, unless we are preparing for ourselves in that kind of way for that kind of time. And unless this matters to us and we bend into this time of waiting and pondering and surviving with our minds and our hearts, unless we do this, resurrection most surely will not come. We may not break down crying, although if we absorb even a little of the distress and worry all around us, we can't be left indifferent. The world has become that much more a fearful, unstable, and uncertain place, even here in Canada, where we can feel protected from so much afflicting our fragile planet. life can never be the same again. The question is, how are we going to bend into this change, discerning life-giving passion and direction for our lives as citizens of this planet? And finally, Jesus not only asked for investment and commitment, he also asked for faith, faith in what he is about to do, faith in what can seem so wildly unreal, resurrection. What if we are being called to have such faith too, like Mary and Martha? What if through this gospel story, God is challenging us to have faith in an altogether new way of being in our society and our planet? I believe this is exactly what we are being called to do. We are being called by the circumstances before us to drink it all in deeply, live it through, and then open ourselves and commit ourselves to a whole new way of being on this planet, with each other and within our lives, a whole new way. It's urgent, it's real, and God is in it, calling to us to listen, to learn, and to move forward on our journey of transformation. I expect most people will, in time, just go back to a lot of what life was like and turn off the urgency to change. It can all be so stressful after all. But there may be a few of us who are ready to engage the stress and urgency to change by welcoming change into our own lives, finding new life in it, new purpose, new passion, and even new joy. Like Janet, like Mary and Martha, with Lazarus among them in a whole new way, nothing will ever be the same again, but they, and possibly we, may be equipped to face the crosses of life in a whole new way. We will not be afraid the same. We will have learned even more deeply how to bend into the storm and await resurrection beyond it. With God, all things are possible. Amen.